This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
We're kind of like opposites, where it's food first, but lifestyle is kind of second, and travel, that goes for fashion and hats or whatever it may be. I try to incorporate that naturally within my content.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to rep, you know, a different sports team or my own merch, or, you know, wear different sneakers for the YouTube people if you're watching, and just organically post about it so people can feel like they know me more than just the food. So they understand my travels, they understand my interests, they understand what I look like, what I sound like, what, you know, what I wear.
Yeah.
To feel like they know me. And at the end of the day, I want to come up on the news feed and feel like I'm just another friend that you're following on social media.
Welcome to The Real Reel, where we go behind the highlight reel and go into the unfiltered. I'm your host, Natalie Barbu, and let's get into it. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Real Reel podcast with me, Natalie Barbu. It has been a minute since I've done one of these intros because I feel like now I just jump into the meat of the episode when I have a guest, or I will do a solo episode and that's where we'll get to catch up. So keep in mind, a solo episode is coming soon. I feel like I haven't done one in a little bit on the pod, but it's coming. Anyways, I wanted to do an intro for this specific guest because I didn't do the best job introducing him once the episode starts. So his name is George, but you might know him by Mr. Eats 305, specifically if you live in Miami. But even if you don't live in Miami, this is not an episode only for Miami people. I wanted to talk to one of the biggest food influencers in Miami on how he built his business and his brand, because he does this full time. He's been doing it full time for a few years, and he has built a really successful brand off of posting his favorite restaurants on Instagram and on social media. And he is building this into a full-fledged business. So it's super exciting because he's one of my favorite people to follow. I always get great recommendations from him. Whether or not you live here, I think he's just like a fun person to follow. And if you're ever coming to Miami, definitely save his restaurants for recommendations. And he also has a website too. But anyways, this conversation was great. I really loved it. And I am so excited to have George on the podcast. So please welcome George to the show. Hello, George.
What's up?
I am so excited that you're on my podcast, and I'm even more excited because we have the tacos here. This is George's collab with Coyo Taco and
Isla Canaria.
Isla Canaria.
There you go. The best croquetas in Miami with a iconic taco spot in Wynwood, and now they're spread out throughout the 305. We created this for 305 Day, which if you're watching and you're not from Miami, it is like Miami's day because the area code is the 305. Hence, my username is Mr. Eats 305.
I love it.
Because I'm from the 305.
Your branding is like perfect. Like, I think it's so good for so many different, like anything in Miami, like your branding is great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Shout out to like my brand designers that we work together, Rostrand Design Co. They kill it with everything when it came to the merch, to the logos, color palettes, fonts, anything that I do, I work in tandem with them.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And I've never tried this before, so I'm going to get the first bite.
Do it. I'll hold the mic.
Oh, thank
Let's see.
You.
So,
explain what's in it.
It is a corn tortilla with a ham croqueta, which if you don't know what a croqueta is, it is a Cuban protein bar.
It's Cuban like mozzarella stick without the mozzarella in it.
Yeah, so it has like it has ham, bechamel, parsley, some spices, and then it's breaded and fried.
Yeah.
Then you have all the good stuff of the taco, like peppers, onions, some cheese, some parsley, tortilla chips, and I'm sure I'm missing some other things, but try it out. Let's see. Crunch. Get that crunch. It is messy, so I don't know if this was a good idea to eat it on the pod, but it's fun. So why not? What are your thoughts?
This is amazing.
Oh, thank you. She's only saying that because I'm right in front of her. You have to try it for yourself and see.
It's so good.
Why?
One, I love croquetas.
Okay, same.
It's like one of my favorite foods. And I love like pickled things. So pickled onion, the jalapenos, like that, like not vinegar taste, but you know, like the
pickled
taste.
It's like acidic
taste,
kind of. Yeah.
It's so good with the croqueta.
Thank you.
I've never had that before.
There you go.
And I prefer corn tortillas over flour.
Same. That was part of the process of trying to make it a good balance, but you know, next level taco.
No, this is so good.
Thank you.
And my mom's in the other room over there, and her favorite food is like croquetas.
Oh,
and
no. So
she's going to love it.
Let's hope. I'm going to take one bite and then we'll keep talking on the pod, but do your thing. Well, while I do my thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a mess though. That's for sure.
How often do you eat this?
This specific item?
Yeah.
This is the second time I've had it. The first time I had it was when we were testing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're filming on the 12th, right? Today
is. It's like a week old.
Came out on the 305 day. I was out of town until Monday. So
okay.
I haven't had a lot of opportunities. So
another bite.
It's solid. I feel like I have cheese all over my face, but
it's so good. Yeah. I'm going to start getting this.
It's only until the end of March.
Okay. And they don't have any croqueta taco.
No.
Okay.
Nowhere.
Yeah. No, I've never heard of it. Yum. Okay. Anyone from Miami, go and get that taco.
Yes. You can get it at any Coyo Taco. And if you find the post that I made about it on my Instagram, Mysteries305, I do have a discount code if you're ordering it in DoorDash.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Coyo305, but to verify.
We'll put it in the show notes what it is. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Well, I'm so excited, first of all, to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
I've never had anyone that's a food blogger before.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're a dime a dozen nowadays.
Yeah.
So I feel like you would have had somebody on there, you know?
There are, but like I said, your branding is super unique, I think, because one, it's very cohesive. Like there's a lot of people that are just like foodies and they just, whenever they travel, wherever they go, they'll post, you know, what they're eating.
Of course.
And that's helpful. That's good. But I feel like yours is so consistent to one, Miami. And also, like, the style video that you do and you're saying, don't take a bite without me.
Yeah.
Like, it's just cohesive. Did you think of that from the beginning? Or at first, like, were you just posting, like everyone else, like, your favorite restaurants? And then all of a sudden you were like, wait, this is growing. Or was it, like, a strategic business decision?
So let me unpack that all. I guess I'll start from the beginning of the creation or inception of Mystery 305. It started in 2016.
Okay.
Back when my wife and I first started dating, like when you first start dating someone, you just love going out to eat and like getting to know everybody. It's kind of like what couples do.
Yeah.
So I was back then posting on Snapchat and my friends would be asking me like, oh, where'd you go this time? What'd you order? That kind of sparked the idea of kind of giving them a page where they could go and stop bothering me and figure out what we got. Hence the creation of Mysteries 305. It was started to help guys figure out where to take their partners out to eat.
Yeah. So is that what like your like mission was, or your goal was like, hey guys, here's where you take your girlfriend
to
eat?
In the beginning. And then I realized at the time it was mostly women who cared about where to eat and guys weren't really on social media as much at that time.
Yeah.
My following was 80% women, 20% male.
Wow.
And now it's 55% women, 45% male.
Oh, wow.
So realizing that, I shifted it to a more generic mission statement, which is helping locals and tourists alike find great places to eat in Miami, as well as my own personal adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what it's been since 2016. And back then, from 2016 to 2021, before the launch of Reels, it was photos and some videos of like in the kitchen, not talking to chefs, but seeing the behind the scenes of how favorite dishes were made at specific restaurants in Miami. Then Reels launched. The business strategy kind of changed.
Yeah.
At the same time Reels launched, I also had just graduated from law school.
Okay.
So with that, it was a good time to rearrange the style and approach. That's when the branding started coming in. I realized that I had a good platform, a good reputation. I wanted to continue to diversify myself from the other creators. And that's when I got the branding. Had the idea for the map that I launched on the website, had the idea for merch.
Yep.
And continue to grow the page into what it is now.
Yeah. before Reels launch, that was, I mean, Reels launched what, like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
No, I think like during COVID, I think 2020, 2021.
Oh, wow. It just feels like it just launched.
It feels like yesterday.
Okay. So before then, was it something that you were still doing as a hobby? Because I know you were in law school, so you were also a full-time student. Was it like a career at that point, or were you making money? Like, when did you first start seeing this more as a career rather than something, you know, like a fun little side hustle?
I didn't see it as a career until I took the bar exam after graduation. And there's like a 2 month waiting period to get your results. Mm-hmm. And within those 2 months, I kind of gave myself these benchmarks that I wanted to hit. And if I hit them, I told myself, let me give it a shot towards making this a career. And I hit them like immediately.
Wow.
Thankfully. I know you said wow, but how is just consistency through posting videos, reels, 30 or 40 consecutively.
30 to 40 reels?
Yeah, consecutively. And I
like in
like,
a month
yeah,
or?
In the 30 to 40 days.
Okay. So every single day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Of good value and not just like a cheese pool and call it a day.
Yeah.
And I grew like 15,000 followers.
Wow.
In that time frame with a good like growth path too, not just like a spike and
right.
That's it.
Right. And was that something that you decided like, okay, I'm going to batch a bunch of content. I'm going to post for 30 or 40 days. Or like, how did you prepare to post for 30 or 40 days? Or you were just like creating content daily and so it came naturally or came easy?
I was creating daily, but I was also batching in the sense of, all right, I can't go out on Thursday. So let me on Wednesday visit 3 spots to cover for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Mm-hmm. When you were doing this, were you getting stuff for free or were you paying for all of this?
So I could have gotten things for free, but I would say some of it, but not all of it, because since I was in such a short time frame, I didn't want to feel like planning to logistically and say like, oh, I want to go to this restaurant on Tuesday, but then something happens and now I have to reschedule. Like I wanted to organize my time towards creating content rather than sitting down behind an email and trying to plan out my free meals.
Yeah.
I realize it's an investment and it's something I genuinely love doing. And I still to this day go and spend my money at spots that don't reach out or I'm more curious about or still want to create content. I just don't need to do it, thankfully, every single day.
Yeah. A feeling everyone listening to this has experienced is standing in front of the mirror, battling with your hair, and trying to tame the frizz before you head out. Meanwhile, you could be doing something more exciting, like booking a spontaneous getaway to, I don't know, the Caribbean or something, or binge-watching the Eras Tour like I did this weekend. That's where Way's new anti-frizz cream swoops in to save the day. You are too busy to be dealing with frizz, so say hello to Way's new anti-frizz cream. It is like a magic wand for your hair, which provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. And if we're going to talk about hair routine, incorporating Way's anti-frizz cream into mine has literally transformed my hair. It is a time-saving superhero that fits seamlessly into my routine. And can we talk about the Sydney-inspired North Bondi scent? It is like a mini vacation every time I use it and takes me back to Australia when I went this summer. Not to mention, my hair feels lighter and looks smoother than ever before. So get busy being frizz-free with Way's new anti-frizz cream. It's not just about taming frizz. It provides heat protection up to 450 degrees. It reduces and repairs split ends, and it quenches dry hair with intense hydration. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looked less frizzy after using it, so you gotta trust it. Don't forget to check out Way's other bestsellers, though, like the leave-in conditioner, their detox shampoo, which I use every time I wash my hair because I can go a long time without washing my hair. Fragrances and hair oils, they are all essential for achieving that salon-worthy look at home. So frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code RealReal for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code RealReal. When you were doing it, giving yourself that 2 month benchmark, did you think, okay, if I don't hit this goal, I'm going to become a lawyer, I'm going to work for big law? Or like, what was your plan when this was still a hobby for you?
Yeah. So in that time, I was waiting the results. So if I would have said, if I passed, even if I hit the benchmarks, I feel like I would have tried being an attorney and practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And if I failed, I would reconsider sitting and taking the bar exam again. Mm-hmm. I will really weigh the options and see if there's value in what I was doing. And what I came down to was, how many attorneys are there in South Florida? And then how many people have the platform that I created in the 4 years prior to that, or 5 years prior to that, that are actually bringing value and enjoy doing it? And mm-hmm. those reasons kind of led me towards wanting to do that daily.
Yeah.
I didn't think it could become what it was, but I knew that I could. It was a right time because of Instagram putting their attention towards Reels, social media, seeing the growth of how impactful it was mm-hmm. compared to traditional marketing. Yeah. I knew that it wasn't just like a random kid posting videos on social media. I knew that there was actual monetary gain mm-hmm. towards it. But that wasn't like the main deciding factor.
Yeah. I feel like there's so, I mean, nowadays, the only way I find restaurants is through social media.
Yeah.
I'll Google, you know, like restaurants near me if I'm wanting to find, you know, close restaurants if I'm in a certain area. But I'll still go on TikTok. I'll still go on Instagram. And I'll try to find, you know, influencers or people talking about it so I can see the food, I can see the vibe, I can see their yeah. review. And it's a much better resource. That one video review to me is more valuable than like what the Yelp score.
Yeah. When it's done right, you get to see the ambiance, you get to see what people are wearing, you get to see what people are eating. It's like a full fledged review in 30 seconds.
Yep.
And I love that. I love when they're done concisely and well and thorough mm-hmm. with due diligence. But yeah, next time, you, instead of Googling, you can just go to the Mystery Eats 305 website
yep.
and check out the map, and you can see what's near you, what neighborhood you want to visit, what cuisines you're craving. You can yeah. type it in. That's my like baby right now, because if you were to even ask me like, oh, what's your favorite restaurant? I'd be like, check the map. I have just a tab for favorites,
mm-hmm.
you know? And another thing, Forbes even wrote an article saying that 80% of restaurant outreach or looking for what to eat happens on Instagram or TikTok over Google.
No. Yeah. No, it's crazy. And I mean, like, I am not a food influencer, but I post a lot of lifestyle content. So mm-hmm. I post my life in Miami. And so I'll have even restaurants reach out mm-hmm. and be like, hey, for, you know, stories and a reel or just stories, like, we'll give you and a friend free dinner, mm-hmm. drinks, whatever. And it's always so. And now I have like a Miami highlight on my Instagram so that if anyone ever asks me for like my favorite stuff, it's there. And I'm not even like a food
creator or whatever.
Creator, yeah. yeah, yeah. But it's still so valuable from like any creator's perspective because they trust me, you mm-hmm. know, and like with you, I've gone to places that you've recommended and I've loved it. And so I'm like, okay, I like trust your reviews
yeah.
now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't post anything that I don't like.
Yeah.
So even if they're inviting me for free, if they're even negotiating to pay me,
mm-hmm.
if I am spending the money my own, if I don't like it, I don't post it. There's mm-hmm. times where they send out the entire menu and I only post 3 or 4 items because those are the ones that are better than the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
So people are always like, oh, you know, you only post things that you like. This guy, you know, is just posting everything. It's like, no, it's curated. It's mm-hmm. honest. It's, I just don't want to talk negatively about my neighborhood, about small businesses,
right?
About people have off days. It might not just be for me.
Right,
so there's
right.
so many things, but people just have to remember, like, when you are navigating through the page, it's subjective and your palate's subjective. So mm-hmm. is everyone's.
Do you ever post negative reviews?
No.
I think that's nice because, like you said, people are having off days, or you might love something and someone else might hate something, or vice versa. And, you know, like, have you, obviously you've heard of like Keith Lee, you know, mm-hmm. like Keith Lee effect. That I was reading some articles where like he'll post something, you know, negative, and I'm not like bashing him for posting his honest opinion, but just like the power that they hold, like that restaurant will suffer if
he's closed multiple restaurants in Atlanta and other places. And it's just like, yeah, man, like we're doing so well. And mm-hmm. like you were like famous or you got popular because of the good you were bringing to your community.
Yeah.
Like you can still be honest and keep highlighting the good.
Right.
Without having to bash like the bad restaurants.
Right. I think if you just don't like the food, or if it's, you know, not your preference, or even if it's bad service, because like one waiter, one person does not reflect
no.
the entire restaurant. Like I've been to some of my favorite restaurants and I've had like a bad experience, but I'm going to go back another time because I know that I've had good experiences other
moments. So yeah, it's just crazy like the power you hold, which is cool that you only choose to highlight what you like.
Yeah, I think it's important not only for my reputation, but for the businesses and the whole community. Like,
yeah,
I don't want people spending their money on an average meal.
Right.
You know, things are getting harder now, like financially for people. And that is something that I'm taking more into account.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, like we were talking before, is before I would post things in different neighborhoods just to showcase that it's there and it's a good option. But some people look at it and they see like, oh, this is the best of this cuisine. He just posted about it. So I need to go and try it out. Not necessarily, you know, I like just to highlight good meals that I've had throughout the city,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in North Miami or in Homestead.
Yeah.
Giving people options. And that's what the map is there for as well.
Yeah.
But some people see it and they're like, oh, and this, he posted a taco. That must be the best taco. It's like, no, it's just a fun one that you have options throughout the city and people are going to enjoy it. I would say the lists and ranks that I do of like the best tacos or the best pizza or the best burgers, those are the ones that I'm really making sure that no one is swaying my opinions. Mm-hmm. I'm like trying to pay off like with a not a mustache and glasses, but really like trying not to be recognized, mm-hmm. and being as honest as I can when it comes to rankings.
Mm-hmm. You started this in 2016. When did you start getting recognized? And when did you start kind of becoming a name in the Miami food and creator scene?
I think that's a good question to ask more of the audience.
Yeah.
I
guess when was the first time you felt like, oh, this restaurant recognized me when I walked in?
I'd say when I started doing the reels in a consistent
video. More recognizable
in the first few years of the page. I didn't show my face.
Oh, really?
It was only photos of the food.
How was your engagement when it was just the photos versus when you started showing like yourself more and your personality?
The engagement was fine before, like people liked the up close and personal with the food. And you also didn't have carousels, you didn't have albums. So it wasn't like, you know, and it felt like I was less self-indulgent.
Yeah.
Because it was more about like the food.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I still try to do it today. I try to make sure that it's not about me. It's more about like the food and the experience.
Yep.
And so to go back to your question, I think when I started showing myself, obviously that happened in like 2018, about 2 years after, people in the industry started to recognize it more and more, but that was more behind the counter.
Mm-hmm.
People just like at the gym or at Publix or something like that. It was more like 2021, 2022.
Okay. And when you started and it was just the photos, just the carousel, and then you took the bar, you decided to give yourself that 2 month benchmark. That's when you said that you started thinking of it more like a business, right? And like thinking about the website and the platform and the merch and the branding. Did that come to you naturally, or was that something intentional where you had to like sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to go all in on this. This is the strategy. Or was it just kind of like, let's see, like, let's hit these benchmarks and kind of see where it goes. Like, what was the progression of that?
Well, even throughout the progression of Mr. Eats, I had always written down goals and ideas that I had to diversify or grow the brand. I would say it happened naturally. I wasn't forcing it or rushing the merch or the map. Like the map I had loaded without making an announcement, like on the website for about 6-7 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Why didn't you make an announcement on it?
I wanted it to be as perfect as it could be. Make sure that I'm not missing any spots. Making sure that I'm doing my due diligence and personally being a user of it first and seeing what I'm missing.
Mm-hmm.
I probably could have announced it sooner, looking back at it, but I'm glad I didn't, because it just felt like the brand was more established by the time I launched the map. It just kept growing the stature of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
It made it seem more legit.
Yeah.
Or when I had released it.
Yeah. And when did you start coming up with like your branding? Like, was that before the shift of like the benchmarks and?
No, it was after.
Okay.
That was part of like the benchmarks.
Okay.
So schedule wise is I took the exam, had like a week off, then wrote down a business plan of benchmarks and like goals and aspirations, things that I had already had like a skeleton of, but really putting it in a more detailed manner and then just trying to work towards that daily.
Yeah.
And that was when I had just taken the bar exam. So early 2021.
Okay. And did you come up with everything or was it like a team that you hired? Or
no. So
what is who does and who's your team now?
So at that time, it was me 100%. My wife, she'd be like my soundboard.
Yeah.
Where I would just kind of test things on and she would like yay or nay, approve, kind of really help me, keep me in check with everything. Aside from this time, like always. So mm-hmm. Shout out to you.
Yeah.
And then I forgot how it was that I found my current designers. I think literally the algorithm of Instagram
yeah.
showed me on my For You page some image that they posted on their IG that I really liked. Like, oh, this is something that matches the vibe that I had in mind for Mr. Eats. It was like vintage meets modern. And I already had kind of like a mood board that I was putting together. So I did like half of the work for them.
Yeah.
Which made it a little bit easier to know what I wanted for yep. the brand.
Yep.
So then I reached out to them. They created what you see as Mr. Eats now. And we just kept growing on that and, you know, diversifying from the logo.
Yeah, the hat.
That logo right there.
Oh, I love it.
The Don't Take a Bite Without Me, which is like the foam fingers of...
Yeah. The YouTube watchers can see it now.
Exactly.
If you're on audio, you got to get on YouTube.
Apologize for that. And then you have like a simple M, then you have a primary word mark. Like we thought of it as a baseball team, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, that it was like a main logo, a logo for like a jersey, a logo for different types of merch.
Mm-hmm.
We made sure that we were doing things from the early stages that you might not even see until 5 years from now.
Yeah. That's what I really appreciate about your brand is that it doesn't feel like it's just like cobbled together. Like it doesn't feel like this random person that just goes out to eat. And when they do, they happen to shoot content and recommend, which if that's you, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's like you're the brand, but then you have like merch that people would actually wear. Like I would wear that hat, you know, I wouldn't if it just said like Mr. Eats 305. I wouldn't, you know,
exactly.
Like it's like the logo is cool, the M is nice, like it kind of lives aside from you, I mm-hmm. feel like if you, not to say that you were to step away, but like if you were, the brand could live on its own also.
Yeah. And that, thank you, because that kind of is done on purpose, like what I mentioned about the video, is that it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the restaurants, it's about the food, it's about the community, it's bigger than me.
Yeah.
And I don't really need to have people wearing like Mr. Eats on their chest.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I get it. It's not that, like, no one's really going to wear that. I wanted to make something that was for Miami.
Yeah.
And done that in like a cool, organic way. Like the M, sure, it stands for Mr. Eats, but
it also stands for Miami.
It stands for Miami.
Yeah. That's what I actually thought. I thought first Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why it doesn't need to be like Mr. Eats branded all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Are you from Miami?
I am. Yeah. So
born and raised.
Yeah.
Okay. And your family is from here?
From they were born in Jersey, grew up in New York, and then moved down to Miami when they had me,
mm-hmm.
and then lived their life all here in Miami. So they're half and half, I guess.
Yeah. Because
they moved down when they were in their 20s.
Okay. And
then their parents are Cuban.
Cuban. Okay. Yeah. So that's why, I mean, Miami's perfect for you then.
Yeah. I mean, New York too at the time, like in Jersey, there was a mm-hmm. lot of like Cubans growing up as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Miami is the perfect fit for me. I love it.
Yeah. Do you ever wonder like, I can't move from Miami because your brand is so Miami focused? Or does that ever feel like it limits you since it is like focused on one city?
It's not solely focused on one city. I've thankfully... Because I love traveling,
mm-hmm.
I've just gone on my travels and people recognize that, my followers, and they'll be like, hey, I'm going to Chicago. Have you been there?
Okay.
You know, I'm curious to see what you've eaten over there, just like as a consumer. I don't need to post content about it or whatever.
Right.
So how I see the brand now is that I am just a Miami guy who loves to eat no matter where he goes. And his audience is... Like I'm curating the content with a Miami palette. So yep. people are running or like I'm their filter.
Yeah. Yeah.
For wherever destination they've gone to. So this job, this brand, it's sent me for work, not just out of vacation to San Diego, Vegas, New York, Texas,
wow.
Iceland, France, Spain. So even brands are starting to see that Yeah, most of his followers are from South Florida. Yeah, he's from South Florida, but the style of content and my due diligence goes deeper than just like eating at a random place in Chicago or whatever the city may be.
Okay.
I'm really like digging deep into what the best is of that city. So if we're going to Chicago, I want, you know, the best Chicago dog. I want the best deep dish. I want to figure out where people are going.
Yep.
And I try to do that with every city.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually curious. Why did you go to like Iceland and France and Spain or even like Vegas, San Diego? Was it all for food, like food content?
We're kind of like opposites where it's food first, but lifestyle is kind of second and travel-esque. So that goes for fashion and hats or whatever it may be. I try to incorporate that naturally within my content.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to rep, you know, a different sports team or my own merch or, you know, wear different sneakers for the YouTube people if you're watching and just organically post about it so people can feel like they know me more than just the food. So they understand my travels. They understand my interests. They understand what I look like, what I sound like, what, you know, what I wear.
Yeah.
To feel like they know me. And at the end of the day, I want to come up on the newsfeed and feel like I'm just another friend that you're following on social media. So that goes into why I travel and why they send me out there. Some of it's just because organically I enjoy doing it. But then I'll post, hey, I'm going to Iceland. And then I had a chef reach out. Hey, you know, I have a restaurant here.
So I'm cool.
Like, dude, how are you? Why are you following me? And you're in Iceland. And I'm like, I didn't ask that question. That helped my brand too. When Miami popped off after COVID, like all the eyes were on the 305.
Yeah.
So
that's when I started following you.
Yeah. So appreciate it. So that's also what helped aside from my content and what I do and the consistency was that Miami was just popping off.
Yeah. No, that's so cool. So I like talking about the business side of things a lot because that's just, it fascinates me.
Okay.
When did you start getting paid off of content creation? And when you first started, were you like, wait, what? Someone's offering to pay me? Or did you have to say, okay, I think I'm worth money now. Like I need to start, you know, telling brands that this is my rate.
So I never to this day have solicited any sort of business. I've never reached out to microphones and saying like, hey, I use your microphones on my podcast. Like you want to pay me $1,000 so I could give it a shout out like I just did. I'm not doing that. I haven't done that to any restaurants, any brand, nothing. They've all come to me, thankfully. It's maybe something I do want to change now after 9 years of doing this.
Yeah.
That I've established myself and I want to work with certain brands that I feel like make sense for both parties. But it's never just a one-sided street where I'm like, hey, this is me. Let me pay me to talk about you. Like, no, I wanted to make it make sense. I think the first time I got paid to post about content was relatively early. I would say like the first year in doing like 2017, 2018.
I guess, yeah, brands were paying at that time. I'm trying to think.
Very like, small. Like I maybe made that year like
10,000 or something.
At most, like off the top of my head. And then it probably stayed like that, like maybe 20 the next year, maybe 30 the next year. It was like, but that was because I was growing and social media was also growing and more budgeting for bigger companies were going towards creators and online presence. That was, that money was coming from solely national brands and like creator platforms that had companies signed up and had creators signed up and they would match.
Got it. Like the marketplaces.
Exactly.
Okay. And then now, does majority of your income come from brand deals or does it come from like the merch that you're selling, the platform that you have?
Yeah. So it's the majority financially comes from brand deals still, but they're less frequent. So by majority, I'm saying like the budget is higher, but it's only like once a quarter
or really?
Yeah. Or like once a year, depending on the campaign, depending on what they're looking for. And that's also done on purpose because I also don't like talking about the same brand so repetitively. I don't want it to feel inorganic or too salesy. So sometimes I have cut back on potential like money in order for it to not like drown my newsfeed.
Yeah. Yeah. And the campaigns that you do, since you do once a quarter, once a year, let's say, what does a campaign look like for someone that is, you know, a food account mainly, because I know for lifestyle, like I can do so many one-off brand deals. Like it's like an Instagram post here, a reel, a YouTube integration, a podcast ad. But for you, I feel like it has to be a little bit more intentional, or else people aren't going to trust you if every you know, review is a sponsored post.
Yeah,
so.
No, I mean, not everyone. Like, the deliverables could be the same as you, but when the brand gives me more flexibility,
yeah,
the better the content will be and the more organic it would be. So, for example, I work a lot with, let's say, one that's done in the past, DoorDash. DoorDash.
It makes perfect sense for
they
you.
They have a list of a bunch of restaurants online that I love, that I've been to. And thankfully, they're flexible in saying, like, all right, pick whatever restaurant you have. We have signed up on DoorDash. Post about it. I'm like, perfect. That's already what I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I make sure that the collaborations make sense. Even things that are a little bit tighter, where I'll mention McDonald's. You think fast food. I've worked with them in the past. And people are like, oh, bro, that's big company. You sell.
I love
I'm like,
McDonald's.
Dude, I love McDonald's.
I love like, McDonald's.
On weekends, I look forward to potentially getting McDonald's.
Yeah.
And treating myself. And just whenever it may be. It doesn't have to be on the weekends. Like,
right.
My wife and I think we ate it like 2 days ago. And we're like, dude, like, should we get this? And I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, it's fire. Who cares? Like, we are simple. People maybe associate me with, you know, a elevated palate or fine dining or whatever it may be. I'm like, no, man, I'm just like you. Like, I had Taco Bell like 2 days ago. I had McDonald's the other day. Like, I love that too. Just because it's not a local restaurant doesn't mean I can't go and eat McDonald's mm-hmm. or like Chipotle or, you know. I would say Starbucks is probably the least I visit.
There's so many coffee shops. Yeah.
And Miami has such good coffee.
Yeah.
Whether it's Colombian coffee, Cuban coffee, whatever it may be. I think the coffee, they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just like fast food chains.
What? I'm actually curious now, because I haven't found a coffee shop that I love. I love Vice City.
I was going to say, we're right across the street from it.
Vice City's my favorite in Miami.
Okay.
But what is your favorite coffee shop that, or one of your favorites that you would say?
I'm going to answer your question with another question. Okay. What's your go-to coffee order?
Just
and that will help my answer.
An iced latte.
Okay. Okay.
I don't like flavors or syrups or anything like
me
that.
Neither. There are a lot. I have a whole tab on my
I'm going to go on there.
for coffee.
I'm actually going to tell my friend, because my best friend has a coffee shop in Texas, which if you ever go, you have to go there. It's Costa Rica.
Where in Texas?
Dallas.
Oh, okay. I haven't been to Dallas since 2018.
Okay. If you go, you have to go to hers, but she's coming this weekend and she's planning on opening one up in Miami.
Nice.
So you'll have to go and see her place. It's Costa Rican, and like the food's Costa Rican.
Amazing.
Coffee. She has her own farm, and her family has farms in Costa Rica. So it's like farm to table. But like, I was trying to give her a list of coffee shops to go to, and there's so many here that like Vice City is my favorite, but it's hard to match like the cute coffee shop vibe with also good coffee, I think, in Miami.
Yes, on a grander scale, because Miami is such a culture of like ventanitas and casual, go in, get your colada and hang out, talk crap with all the viejos there for a little bit and then leave and you're good, or take it back to the office and you talk crap over there.
Yep.
You know, it's made for that type of thing, and that's not really like the coffee shop vibe.
Right.
But there are still a lot of good spots. So to answer your first question, I think my favorite coffee in Miami is from Sweet Habana Cafe, which is down the block that way.
I don't think I've been.
It is fantastic. It's Cuban coffee.
It's
in Wynwood. Yeah.
Oh,
You know where Fireman Derrick's is, the new one?
Yep.
Right across the street from there.
I gotta go. Okay.
There, and there's a bunch of other great ones. Tinta y Cafe, Caracas Bakery. There are a lot of coffee shops, a lot of bakeries that have good coffee. The list
I'm gonna
can go
send
on
her
and on.
Your
but,
platform.
Yeah.
Because like, I was just sending her like, okay, there's Vice City. There's
Which is
Panther.
Also a good one too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, and those, and Panther's iconic. They're the first ones to do like real craft coffee in the city. So like, they're still doing good stuff, but for me, I like the variety at Sweet Habana and the quality.
Okay. I'm going to send her your platform, because
awesome.
I'm like, I don't know. Like,
well,
I'm
she should be listening too. So
yeah, she will. So she will. I give her a shout out like all the time. Like if I'm talking coffee, I'm like, so my best friend owns a coffee
Like the
shop.
Only person she knows that drinks coffee.
Yeah. I know. Okay. So favorite coffee shops are those. What about like, what do you think Miami does really, really well? Like, I mean, I would say Cuban food, number one. But what else do you think Miami is like known for, or should be known for, but they're not?
Okay. I think what Miami does really well is the diversity of cuisine that we have to offer. Miami is a melting pot.
Yep.
There's so many different people here, and it translates within the cuisine.
Yo, I think Miami has some of the best food. I love the food here.
Yeah, everyone thinks about it as Cuban food because you're in Miami, but We have really good Caribbean food, and you know, not just in Caribbean, you think still Latin American, you think Dominican, Puerto Rican, like no. Also Trinidadian, Guyanan, like Guyanese, mm-hmm. I'm not sure what Guyana would be. Jamaican food, like all the different regions within Central, South America, the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. I think they do a really good job here. Lacking, I would say maybe like some more Europeans, not like Italian, because we have a plethora of Italian.
Yeah.
There's a handful of German spots, mm-hmm. but maybe some more interesting cuisines that I haven't seen.
Yeah. So I'm more in North Miami, and I think what we're missing there is good casual Asian.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No, I think there's actually a lot of good casual Asian spots around
really?
There. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need to go on your website then, because like there's fancy Asian.
Yes.
But I just want a good takeout spot.
Like of course.
Cheap.
So if you're in Ball Harbor and Aventura, yeah, there's more high end, like Makoto is over there. But right in North Miami, on the map, I can't even think of the names off the top of my head, because that's become my crutch. It's just I keep referring myself to the map. But yeah, there's a big Asian population there in North Miami.
Okay, I have to check it out then.
And Chinese dumplings.
There's a good dumpling spot there.
Is it Dumpling King?
Dumpling King.
Yeah.
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 They're there. And along that strip, I think there's like a bunch of options.
Okay.
Sang's Chinese. I don't know if that one's in North Miami, but the name sounds familiar and that place is really good.
Okay. I'll have to check. What about top three favorite restaurants if someone were to like put you on the spot?
Yeah. So it's different because like it depends who's asking. Like okay. If you were to ask me and I'm trying to give you recommendations, I don't want to send you to like the basic spots,
right?
Like a Joe Stone Crab, which is fantastic, but
it's pretty
basic. Like it's the oldest restaurant in Miami. There's so much history, tradition, good service, good food, but I still think there is better now in Miami than Joe Stone Crab. But if someone's visiting Miami for the first time, I feel like they need to go.
Right. I always tell people to go there too.
Yeah.
What about like you and your wife are going out to dinner?
That's different because I think I am very simple. I would probably go for myself. Just get a good cheeseburger, good pizza, like simple things. Like I don't need to go to, and she's very simple too.
Yeah.
But we enjoy going out to dinner and you know, dressing up and doing a little bit, going to a little bit nicer of a spot than like just pulling up and like getting a burger and eating in the car.
Right.
You know, those spots are like Babe's Meat Encounter in Palmetto Bay or Miami Slice. They're right here. Not
How
not
do you
far
avoid the line? Do you take it, like order it to go or?
So that line is for to go.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, who, like, I just don't have the patience to wait in that line.
But you can eat it there and it's not that long of a line. Like, you put your name down. Yeah.
Okay. I've always just get it, like, when my friends get it. Like, I never actually go and eat it there. I just will go with my friends.
Yeah. So, like, their restaurant is like any other restaurant. It's a pizza omakase when you eat inside. You put your name down. They tell you, all right, 30 minutes, you know, come back. We'll text you. And you can enjoy, like, beers on the patio or walk around, get coffee, whatever it may be. And it's cool because you get to try all their slices.
Yeah.
Or as many as you could
eat. Okay, cool.
And that's better than getting like an entire box to go because you're limited to, unless you order 7 boxes.
Right. Okay. I haven't done that because every time I go, I'm like, okay, this line is so long.
But then I get it.
If I'm with my friends, we'll get it. Like we'll pick it up and take it to go.
Totally. But yeah, with her, I mean, she's been obsessed recently with Tinta y Café. It's one in the Gables,
like
one in Miami Shores. They've been there for like 20 years already too, but it's just so solid every time. Like, man, they have soups, sandwiches, salads, great pastries, great coffee. They're another great coffee spot.
Yeah.
The vibe is cool. It's like a cafe, but there's no Wi-Fi in there. And they really promote like talking to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like family style seating, bar tops. So it's just a cool vibe for like Saturday morning, Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Osaka. We love Osaka.
The best. So good.
It's expensive, but we love Osaka. We love. There's a lot of things that we love. Like I have on my website. This is like this video is brought to you by Mysterious 305's website.
Like, he's paying me. He's paying.
No, it's just easy because that's where I go to and refer to everything. I have, I think, 70 different restaurants that are under my favorites.
Wow. Okay, I need to check it out. Because...
So, like, yeah, on there it has every cuisine that we go to that has more than one. Like, obviously, there's like not many African spots in Miami, so I don't have an African cuisine, but I do have an African restaurant in like a takeout section.
Got it. Okay.
And you can type in African and like it'll come up. But I have two of my, maybe three of my favorite pasta places, and those are tagged under the favorites. Burgers, pizza, like I get all the little subcategories, and then I tag them into my favorites category.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's like 70 of them.
And I don't know if I asked this already. I don't think I did, but do you guys cook at all? Or is it like...
Oh, I think you did ask me that. I don't know if it was on camera or off camera, but I avoided it. Well, right now we just bought a house recently, about a few months ago. Thank you. And we were getting our kitchen done and it's not fully done yet.
So that's why you don't cook.
So as right now, in the past we enjoy it, but I wouldn't say that we cook.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the worst at cooking. Yeah.
We can cook. And she's better than I am. I'm more of a sous chef to her.
Okay.
I'm more of the taste tester.
Yep.
Rightfully so. But yeah, we enjoy it. I think the creativity that I see from the restaurants in Miami, it's cool to apply it sometimes.
Yeah.
In your own kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But as of now, no.
And last question before end the podcast.
That's it. All right.
Kicking you out. Yeah. What advice would you give to someone who does want to start a food account now? Because there are so many. Like, do you recommend starting on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, repurposing across all of them, like sticking to one city or going all over? Like, what would you recommend?
I would recommend doing whatever is easiest for you at the beginning. So like, if you enjoy only Instagram, then for now, post only on Instagram and do it consistently and it doesn't even have to be food. It can be in any creative space. Like, don't think it's too late or you missed a bus or whatever it is. Like, you are unique in your individuality in creating content. And the more unique you are and the more value you give in your posts, the more successful you will be. What I've noticed, people enjoy watching things that are of value, not just, the food porn or you know, seeing me if I was like, I had a six pack and I had a pizza in front of me. Like, no one really cares and gives it value. Like, cool, they'll like it. Oh, shit, that's cool. But like, realistically, they want to keep watching your videos when you keep teaching them and keep showing them different options and showcasing your adventures.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that's great advice for any creator, because I always say, like, if anyone wants to get in the creator space, number one, it's not oversaturated.
At
like
all.
You can get into it. And I feel like every year people are like, oh, if only I did this in 2020. And then in 2020, people were like, oh, I wish I did this in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
In 2016, I'm sure people said, I wish I started this in 2011.
Yeah.
It's like, people are going to say that every single year. You just got to start now and be yourself, as cheesy as that sounds.
It's so cheesy, but it's so true.
But yeah, be yourself. And like you said, pick a platform. I always say, like, start with one.
Because
I think it's overwhelming to be like, oh my God, I need to be everywhere at the same time. And then you can plan your content on Rela. So there's my shout out.
Oh, there you go.
My app. But yeah, no, I totally agree with you with that. Like, do whatever is easiest for you.
Yeah. And don't feel like you're copying someone, even though it's a similar field.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so many ways you can film the same video.
Or make it, put a different spin on it. Like, everyone's unique. Like, I post the same way consistently because that's my, like, brand. Mm-hmm. And that's what people look for.
Yeah.
But I could easily take the same video and do it three different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just choose
Put
to do it that way.
It.
So like, it's out there. Like, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to execute, which is always the hardest part.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, George, for coming on my podcast.
Thank you.
This was such a fun conversation, because honestly, it's questions I've just been curious about. Like, before we started recording, I was like asking all these same questions.
It was terrible. No, I'm kidding. It was fun.
It was already like the podcast before the camera started rolling. But where can they find you? Where can they support you? Talk, like, where can they find your platform?
Because I haven't spoken enough about the website,
so
what's the
website again?
So the website, it sounds old school, like I'm promoting a website, but mystereats305.com. It's a .com, maybe plans on making it into an app eventually, but right now it's very user-friendly, mobile-friendly. That's where you'll find everything that I've been to that you can watch on Instagram and social and TikTok and YouTube at just mystereats305.com. So mr.eats305.
Perfect. Yeah. Great. Thanks.
Thank you for having
me.
And remember, don't take a bite without me.
Oh, perfect.
Cheers.
You got the branding down.
Look at that.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Real Real. I hope that you enjoyed, and don't forget to rate, review, follow, or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. You can follow me personally on Instagram at Natalie Barbu and the podcast at The Real Real Podcast. I'll see you next Monday.
Hey there, my name is Renee Rina, and I am the mom friend you have always wanted. I am also the host of the Mom Room podcast. We publish 2 episodes per week, a co-hosted episode on Tuesdays and a solo episode on Thursdays. Popular topics include pooping and having sex after giving birth. I have a solo episode where I talk about not sharing a bed with my husband and why that's okay. I hope you'll tune in to these conversations every week. Join us on Instagram at the Mom Room podcast and start to feel a little less alone in this crazy thing called motherhood.